Chapter 3. Securing the House. Nat reached the beach, but it was hard to walk there because the east wind was so strong. He quickly dug a big hole in the sand. But when he opened the sack to put the dead birds in, the wind blew some of them over the sand. It was an ugly sight, and Nat felt sick. "The sea will take them when the tide turns," he said to himself. He raised his head, looked out to sea, and then he saw hundreds of seagulls sitting on the waves. Hundreds? No, thousands of them. They rose and fell with the waves, their heads to the wind as far as he could see. "This isn't normal," Nat thought. "I must tell somebody." But who would believe him? And what could anybody do? He turned and walked slowly back home, deep in thought. When he reached his cottage, he could see that his wife was excited. "Nat," she called to him, "it's on the radio about the birds. It's happening all over the country, in London too. Listen." She turned the volume up, and Nat listened to the report.
"Numerous reports are coming in about large quantities of birds flying above towns, villages, and agricultural areas, causing damage and attacking people. It is thought that the Arctic air current is making the birds migrate south, and that intense hunger may drive these birds to attack humans. The population is warned to seal doors, windows, and chimneys, and to take precautions for their children's safety."
"Well," Nat said, turning off the radio, "now Mrs. Trigg will know that it wasn't my imagination. I felt that something was wrong all morning, and when I went down to the sea, thousands of seagulls were riding the waves. It was so strange." Nat spent the morning cutting wooden boards to cover the windows and blocking the base of the chimney so that no birds could enter that way. When he had finished, he had lunch with Helen. He was pleased with his work. Afterwards, they both listened to the 1 o'clock news. It was the same as before, but more details had been added.
"In London, the sky was so full of birds that it seemed the city was covered by a big black cloud," said the announcer. "The sight was so unusual that people stopped work to go and see it. Others got out of their cars to watch, causing huge traffic jams in the city."
The announcer didn't sound worried, though.
"He's not taking it seriously," thought Nat, "and I'm sure lots of people will just laugh and go on with their lives. I wonder if the Triggs are doing anything up at the farm." Next, he started making boards to cover the kitchen windows.
"Are you sure that's necessary?" Helen asked.
"Better safe than sorry," Nat replied as he continued working. Then he had another thought. "What's the food situation?" he asked his wife. He didn't want to worry her, but he needed to know.
"Well, we haven't got much in the house at the moment," she answered. "Tomorrow is our weekly shopping day, and I don't like keeping a lot of uncooked food at home. It goes bad."
Nat didn't know whether she would be able to go shopping the next day, but he didn't say so. He saw that they had enough food for a day or two. He hoped that everything would be back to normal by then. "I'll try to get some extra bread and milk from the farm when I get a chance," he thought. When he finished with the windows, he went into the garden. It was only 3 o'clock, but a kind of strange darkness had fallen,
and he could hear the sea hitting the rocks. He walked down the path, halfway to the beach. Then he stopped. The seagulls had risen from the sea. There were thousands of them, circling in the sky. That was why the sky was so dark, and they were absolutely silent. It was very sinister. Nat ran back to the cottage.
"I'm going to get Jill from school," he said. "I'll wait for her at the bus stop. Keep Johnny inside and close the curtains."
"What's the matter?" asked Helen. "Your face is white."
"There's no time to explain," he answered. "Just do as I say."